Let's go to Psalms 19. Psalms 19. I'm just kind of going through the book of Psalms and picking some psalms that I think probably are some of my favorites, and maybe some of the more well-known psalms. This is a beautiful psalm. It breaks down in such a beautiful fashion because. I talked Wednesday night when we're going through the book of Revelation. As you read it, learn to rightly divide the word of God. And part of that is just noticing the divisions. When I get ready to teach through a psalm like Psalm 19, well, I'm not gonna tell you where the breaks are. I mentioned if you have a study Bible, sometimes they kind of break it and put little headings over it, and that helps you to see the divisions and the different subjects that are covered. But you think about that as we read it, and then I will give you the kind of three divisions that this psalm is divided into. Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Hey, you know, once you hear that verse, I think it just... Have you ever, those of you that are familiar with this, have you ever just seen the sun rise in the morning? And then different times during the day, you look up and it's in its different positions. And, it's a beautiful description, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and is circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And then verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, you talk about a beautiful verse to finish this chapter. Think about it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Heavenly Father, meet with us as we study the Bible together. There's so much in this chapter. And Lord, we can gain so much help by it. So Lord, we ask, dear God, that you'd help the preacher this morning. Help me to, Lord, having studied, help me to focus on the things that you bore witness with my spirit about. And Lord, opened up to my mind and heart. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would open the hearts of the listeners, Lord, as they go down through it. The Bible's so incredible. Anytime we thoughtfully interact with it, Lord, our minds can be helped, our hearts can be changed. And so I pray, Lord, that we would allow the Bible to do what it needs to do, what you want it to do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, very good. Well, let's divide this now, okay? We see three divisions here. And again, people can come up with their own descriptions and their own headings. But I believe that the first six verses, we see the witness of creation, the witness of creation. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But folks, the creation that we see speaks to the existence of a creator and testifies of his existence. And so we see, number one, the witness of the creation. And then we see the words of the Bible and the importance of the Bible. And so From the witness of creation, you know what we understand? There is a God. The words of the Bible, this is what he wants you to know. And so we know the presence of God, a witness as to the existence of God through creation. But what does he want me to do? What does he want me to know? I mean, it's one thing to say, well, I believe in God. Another thing, well, do you want to know what he thinks? Do you want to know what he says? Do you want to know what his will is for your life? Well, this is where the words of God comes in. So that's verse 7 and 10. And then because there is a God, and because there is some things that he wants us to do, we see then the third division, the decision of the believer, verse 11 through 14. This is what I will do. Because there is a God, and because this is what he wants, and he shows me in the Bible, there's some decisions I need to make. This is what I will do, verse 11 through 14. And so we'll break it down and study it like that this morning. Let's first of all look at the witness of creation. Folks, creation testifies to the existence of a creator. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Genesis 1 and 2 talks about creation and how God created the heavens and the earth and the time frame it was created in and where it all comes from. So creation, if you look at creation, there is a witness there. Creation speaks to the existence of of God. I got to tell you a little bit about what's happening in our junior high and high school young men's class. And I asked Brother Josh Davis to take that class. His wife, Dawn, is teaching our junior high and high school girls, and they're doing a great job. You talk about two young people excited, throwing themselves into it. I'm so happy that they're so excited about it. And so Brother Josh is coming up with all these ideas for this class. And so he calls me a couple weeks ago, and he says, Pastor, he said, man, he said, we're down in the basement and we're in this little room. And he said, I'm a country boy and I'm used to being outside. He said, we got all that woods back there behind the church. He said, can I, like, if I use the teen boys in the class to go back there and make a trail all the way back into the woods and then make a classroom out in the woods and make stumps for seats and a tree stump for a pulpit And you know, Josh is just trying to get out of the basement. He's just trying to, I don't blame him. I'm excited. I said, Josh, you know what people already think about our church? And now, you know, within our church, you're going to take him out in the woods and start a cult or something, you know? I mean, so I told him, I said, no, I think that would be awesome. He said, I know we can't do it. Depending on the weather or whatever, but he said, man. And so yesterday I was running in and out. I had so much to do yesterday, so I was in and out of the church and running in and making visits, coming back, trying to finish a week's worth of broadcasts and get ready for today. And we had honor day yesterday, so I pull back into church and I see his truck backed up into the woods there. And I hear voices and I'm like, I got to walk back there and see what's going on. What are they doing back there? And sure enough, he's got a trail all the way back that they've cut and weed-eated, and he's taking sawdust, and it's the sawdust trail, amen? Come on, some of you know the old tent meetings. He's got the sawdust trail going all the way back there. He's sprayed everything for poison ivy, so if any of the boys are susceptible, they're not going to get it. He's sprayed all of that, and he's got a whole clearing back there, And he's walking me through the woods. This is what I'm getting to. He's walking me through the woods. He said, Pastor, just on this trail here from where we started to here, and he starts stopping and talking about trees and vines and different things that, you know, the young men can see and the lessons, the spiritual lessons. I don't know if he'll ever use our Sunday school curriculum. I have no idea what's going on. He may just be walking them through the woods, but hey, you know what? That's not a bad deal right there. Hey, folks, listen, if we could get our young people to turn off the silly video games, get off the couch and get out of the basement, actually get out into God's creation, you know, maybe they'd believe in God again. No one had to try to come and tell me that there was a God when I was a little boy. Before I was even saved, I knew there was a God. You know why? Because I grew up out in the woods. Listen, if you'll get out in the woods in nature, there's no way that you won't hear a voice inside of you that says, somebody made this. And somebody a lot bigger than you and more powerful than you created all of this. You say, is that voice real? Well, let's just stop real quick and let's go back to Romans chapter 1 just for a moment. I can't go through the whole chapter, but Romans chapter 1, you've heard me teach this several times, but Romans chapter 1 tells us again about the witness of creation. And how all men are going to stand before God. Listen, there's nobody that can stand before God and say, well, I just didn't know there was a God. I just didn't know. Because creation, God, one of the purposes of creation is to bear witness of a creator. Now, that's why the Bible says the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. Because, I'm sorry, there's evidences all around you of God. And for somebody to decide that they're an atheist, they have to beat down the inner witness that's inside of them and ignore the creation around them and come up with a theory that, by the way, is so unscientific and mathematically impossible and believe in that rather than just believe the Bible. But Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now watch this, verse 19, because that which may be known of God. Now stop and think about this. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Manifest in them. You know, Every man and woman God's ever created, part of what when he creates us, and I believe it's God's hand that forms a child in their mother's womb. Jeremiah speaks to that in Jeremiah chapter 1. Amen. That's why, by the way, abortion is such a wicked thing. Because you're just not killing an unborn baby. You are taking a body out of the hands of God as he's forming it. God takes it serious. God's destroyed nations because of their sacrificing of children. And I'm afraid America's in the crosshairs of judgment right now. But but notice this. As God is creating you, one of the things he hardwires into every single one of us is that we know in our hearts that there is a God. And that's why it says in verse number 19, for that which may be known of God is manifest in them. And so in your heart, your mind and in your heart, God has put the awareness that somebody created you and that there's somebody that's bigger than you and there's somebody that's created everything around you. But it's not just the inner voice. Notice verse 20, for the invisible things of him. So you don't see God. If you want to believe in God, God's created a situation where you got to believe by faith. The invisible things of him, speaking of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So somebody stands before God one day and said, well, you know what? I didn't believe in you. And God's going to say, well, you chose not to believe in me because I created within you an awareness that I existed. And I gave creation around you to testify of my existence. And you know what? Listen, you decided in your heart that you weren't going to believe what was being spoken to you in your heart as truth and the evidence of all creation around you. So Psalms chapter 19, let's go back there. This chapter reinforces that when we begin in verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. I think that's awesome. The heavens declare the glory of God. I think that in the daytime we can see the existence of God. Day speaks of a creator. Nighttime, go out at night. And again, I'm so glad I was raised in the country. We'd stay up, especially if mom and dad had friends over, and then they'd bring their kids and, you know, they were in the house talking and we were outside running around. The sun would go down and I'd run around catching lightning bugs and playing hide and seek. And then sometimes in the quietness of all of that, I talk about climbing up on top of my dad's 1966 Buick station wagon. Probably shouldn't have been on it. Laying on the hood, just staring up at the stars. And you know what? Come on. Something spoke inside of a little boy. You know, I never doubted the existence of God. You got to go to college and let a college professor talk you out of it.
Right.
You know, if you just open your eyes, you'd see it. You know, the fool has said in his heart, listen, an atheist isn't trying to convince everybody around them there's no God. He's trying to convince himself. Because inside there's a voice that says, I exist. Creation speaks to the glory of God. Day unto day uttereth speech. Isn't that interesting? As we watch the sun come up and the sun set, day by day, you know what? There's a voice. It uttereth speech. It gives testimony to the existence of God. And night unto night showeth knowledge. And Brother Josh was out there showing me different things. And folks, there are. I told him, you know, there's something about nature that, you know, there's always a lesson in nature. He's got a couple trees out there that I'm giving you all this information, and some of you are never going to take that trail and go back there and look. But he left two saplings in that little clearing where he cleared it off. And he said, Pastor, this one here, and one of them was just as straight, just a little sapling, just about that big around. And he left one of them. It was just as straight up as it can be. I mean, just as clean a tree and as straight a tree, little sapling as you'll ever see. And then right over here on the left, there was another one, and it was twisted around. And it came up a certain way, and it was bent over. And I asked him, I said, I didn't even know this. I said, why is that tree's spiral like that? Well, he went over and showed me one. He said, one of these little vines gets on that tree and wraps itself around it. And he said, you see those big trees where the big vines are up? He said, you know what? They just didn't grow there one day. They came on that tree as a little sapling, and they began to pull that tree to the ground and begin to scar that tree. And he said, I'm going to tell the young men, let me tell you something. In your youth, if you don't get rid of these little sins, you know what? Young men, you can deal with sin and get it out of your life, and you can be this. Or you can be this. And by the way, let's look at some of these trees around us. I mean, preacher, what's he doing? He's letting nature preach. God's creation's teaching them, those young men. I love that kind of stuff. I may never get him out of the woods. Matter of fact, I might just go join him in the woods. Maybe we ought to put a big amphitheater out there and have a service every once in a while. Just be surrounded. Come on, the old Brush Arbor meetings, they used to do it, amen. How about the Feast of the Tabernacles, where Israel for a week had to leave their comfort of their homes and all the modern conveniences, and they had to go back out in the wilderness and build tents and get back into nature, get quiet and get away from everything. Hey, why do we have church camp? Why is church camp so effective and has been over the years? Get all these teenagers away from all the modern conveniences and get them away from all their electronics and technology and shut all that nonsense off, and for an entire week just go out back out in the nature somewhere and let the voice. There's two things in this chapter: the voice of creation and the word of God. Get them surrounded by nature again. Go out there and hear a bunch of preaching. Get them reading their Bibles and having devotions every morning as part of their schedule. And all of a sudden, you know what, a kid comes back from camp and he's changed. Come on, I've watched it. I've watched 1 week of teen camp transform a young person's life, change a young person. And so, you know what? Boy, we're learning something here. Amen. Maybe we shouldn't wait for 1 week a year. Maybe we ought to on purpose, come on purpose from time to time, get out in God's nature, bring your Bible with you. It's great to do your devotions on the living room, but I think it's better to do it on the front porch. It's great to do your devotions, come on, in your bedroom, but sometimes maybe we ought to go out in the woods somewhere and just read about God's creation. So then it talks about the sun. I like this. Verse 4, their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Their line is gone out through all the earth. When it talks about the voice and the speech of nature, and day into day uttereth speech, night into night showeth knowledge. It's talking about the testimony of creation. Their line, that's talking about literally their sentences, like writing out a line, has gone out throughout all the earth. So again, talking about the witness, their words to the end of the world. Nobody, no matter where you live in the globe, around the globe, Even if they've never seen a Bible or never met a missionary, they still have creation to testify that there is a God and that he exists. Amen. And so nobody gets a pass in this. Then it talks about the Son, ends up in chapter 4, which is as the bridegroom, I've already mentioned, is coming out of his chamber, rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. And again, when you read the Bible, it sheds light on creation. You look at creation differently. You know, it's wonderful that God created the worlds the way he did, and the earth and its rotation, and how it revolves around the sun, and the fact that we have a day and a night time, and all of that God made for us. And verse 6, which goeth forth, is from the end of the heaven, and is circuit unto the ends of it. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. So here we have, I've kind of rushed through that, but here we have the witness of creation. And then we switch from that to the words of the Bible. So yes, God uses creation to make sure that we are without excuse and to testify, witness of to the fact that there is a creator. But there's one thing to know, there is a God. And again, I use this, the witness of creation, there is a God. The words of the Bible, this is what he wants. This is how he communicates to us. These are his words. And then we read this wonderful portion of scripture, verse 7 through 9. If you've never memorized this, this is a great portion of the Word of God to memorize. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Any of you ever, you know, the chorus, the Bible song that is put to music? Some of you know that. That's a great, easy way to memorize it, by the way. The law of the Lord is perfect, concerning the soul. Now, I want you to notice a few things. There's different descriptions concerning the Bible here. It's known, the Word of God is called the law of the Lord. Then it's called the testimony of the Lord. Then it's called in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord. And the Bible also is called the commandments of the Lord. And the Bible is called in verse 9, the fear of the Lord. Still talking about the Bible there. And then it's talking about verse 9, the end of verse 9, the judgments of the Lord. So I wrote that out. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord. By the way, you'll find the same thing in Psalms 119. We'll get there eventually. We'll do a study of that one of the weeks. Your preacher, Psalms 119, is that going to be like a three-month study? Yeah, the longest chapter in the Bible. But as you go through it, the Word of God is mentioned in almost every verse in Psalms 119. But sometimes it's called the law, and sometimes it's called the testimony of the Lord. Sometimes it's called statutes or commandments or the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. Well, what's that talking about? Within this book, folks, there's different things that are given to us. And so let's break that down. What's the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord specifically points us to that which is contained in the Pentateuch, in the first five books of the Bible. This is the law that God gave. By the way, he gave it to Israel, but he gave it as a schoolmaster so that we would be brought to Christ. What's the schoolmaster teach us? What is the law, and why is the law referred to as a schoolmaster? Well, you go to the schoolmaster, you sit underneath a schoolmaster or a teacher so that you can learn something. What do you learn from the law? Watch this, that we can't keep it, that we fall short. What do we learn from the law? That we're sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, folks, listen to me. Everybody that wants to dismiss the Old Testament law is not important in this day and age. You'll learn more about the character of God by studying the Old Testament law than you will, I think, in any other part of the Bible. What pleases God? What doesn't please God? What does God declare to be right, and what does he declare to be wrong? And, you know, if you go back to the Old Testament law, I understand. You say, well, we're not under the law. Well, we're not under the condemnation of the law. But the Bible says this, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Okay, folks, there's nothing wrong with the law of the Lord. Amen. What's wrong is with us. We shall fall short of it. There's nothing wrong with that law. And so when you study the law, I find this, people that want to dismiss the Old Testament law, they don't want any absolutes. They don't want anything that tells them that they can or can't do something. And it's this new brand of humanistic Christianity. And one of the tenets of humanism is that they don't want any absolutes. They want a loophole in everything. And so we see that more and more where we go into the New Testament and God says certain things. We'll get to some of this in a minute. He'll say certain things. And I hear people say, well, I know it says that. And then what's the next word they say? But. And it's like they just can't take what God says. Hey, there's certain principles and precepts that apply to the family. God's not confused and he's not kidding. And it doesn't matter what society does. Everybody reads it and says, yeah, but. No, there's no yeah, but. That's the way the family unit's supposed to be structured. When we follow it, we get good results. When we don't follow it, we pass on generational sins. And so we got to be careful. The law is talking about what God gave in the Pentateuch there. The testimony of the Lord. Now think about the word testimony. When I looked at that word, that Hebrew word, it just means a witness. So if I was calling somebody up to give their testimony, it would be like through the defense, call your next witness, because that witness is going to testify. And you know what? All through the Bible, you are recorded events that were witnessed by former generations, that were people experienced something, they saw something, they witnessed something, and they're testifying of that. And again, a lot of the Old Testament stories and New Testament stories are just recorded events from which we can see what they witnessed and learn about God through what they saw. Statutes are mandates. Now, it's interesting because a statute is interesting. We're going to see statutes and we're going to see commandments. Now, commandments are very black and white, okay? Thou shalt, that's the thou shalt and thou shalt nots of the Bible. Okay, there's really no way you can really, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, you know, but then there's these umbrella principles in the Bible. Statutes are umbrella principles that guide us. You know, if God had to say thou shalt and thou shalt nots to every possible thing out there, when the Bible was written, come on, mankind has created some problems now. There wasn't cell phones. There wasn't technology. There wasn't social media. And can you imagine if God had to do a thou shalt not for every possible situation out there? So what he did instead was give us statutes. And that what that is like umbrella principles that we can apply to any situation to help guide us as far as what is right or what is wrong, what I should do with this, what I shouldn't do with this. So statutes or principles you'll see in the Bible. I mentioned commandments, thou shalt and the thou shalt not. The fear of the Lord. Now think about this. You know, there's a lot of stories that cause us to kind of stand in awe of God, to revere him. Come on, think about that. To respect the Lord, to live with a sense of the fear of the Lord. And there's portions in the Bible, stories in the Bible that cause us to say, you know what? That happened to that person, and I probably better not do that. Okay, when I read about Ananias and Sapphira, I'm sorry, but that puts the fear of the Lord in me. Right. If I'm going to stand up publicly and say, me and my wife are going to give something, and then I go back and not do it, that should be a fearful thing for me, okay? I think in the book of Acts of Herod, that stood up and he gave a great oration, a great speech. And you know what? There was, you know, people that were, you know, wanting to kind of butter him up. And so they start saying, oh, that wasn't just a speech. That was the voice of God. That was the voice of God. And you know what? He accepted that praise. And then the Bible says that the worms ate him and he died. It doesn't say he died and the worms ate him. It said the worms ate him and he died. I don't want to get too graphic here, but that, I mean, there's a lot of ways to go. I don't think that's the way I want to go. I mean, I'm trying to picture because it's like while he was standing there, this is happening. Okay? How crazy do you want to get right now? It's too early in the morning for this, isn't it? Too early in the morning. Preacher, I haven't even had a donut yet. Let's not talk about worms eating. But when I read that, and you know what? I preach a message, and somebody back there, and I appreciate people saying, Pastor, that message helped me, or Pastor, thank you so much. I appreciate that, but I got to be careful with that. You know what? There are certain stories in the Bible that what you better do is take a look at them and learn from. You say, well, the best teacher is experience. No, the best teacher is somebody else's experience. You know, I shouldn't have to go make all the dumb mistakes. I can watch people make dumb mistakes and say, I don't think I want to do that.
Right.
And so we're talking about the fear of the Lord. Then the judgments. And when you look at that word judgment, it simply means verdicts. You know, God has a recorded opinion on certain things. You can go back and see where God passed a verdict. So he's got a recorded opinion on what is right and what is wrong. And you know what? Let's just hit a reset button, folks. Doesn't matter what Jerry Ross thinks or anybody else in this room. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, does God see something wrong with it? Well, yeah, but. And then there's no but. Okay, he's right. I'm wrong if I don't agree with him. And when you just approach the Bible like that, it makes life pretty simple. You know, the Bible fixes me a lot. Because all of us can kind of get off in our thinking a little bit. And next thing you know, I read the Bible, and I'm kind of getting off of my thinking, and I read the Bible, and the Bible just goes, chink, and helps me get my thinking back where it needs to be. Then sometimes I'll get my thinking off this way, and I'll be in my Bible. Listen, if you're not spending time in the Bible, let me tell you what happens. It just keeps going. And next time you know, you can be thinking the opposite of what God thinks. I'd rather just stay in the Bible and let him kind of keep me between the lines, you know. The Bible talks about depart not from the precepts of God. The principles don't depart to the left or the right. Just straight on, what's the Bible say? I want to have the same opinions that God has. I want to agree with the Lord on things.
Amen.
There's too much of this. There's a lot of it is on social media. Well, what do you think about that? They're always like doing an opinion poll. And so that's what the world does, so that they know what to think. You know, so they'll gather everybody's opinion, and then they'll see kind of what the majority opinion is, and then they'll kind of jump in the middle of that. I'm just like, who cares what everybody, I mean this, who cares what everybody thinks?
Right.
Why isn't somebody putting on the social media, what does the Bible say about this? Or what does God think about this? And, you know, they wouldn't have to go to social media. They could just get in this book right here and figure it out, okay? Now, let's summarize. The Bible contains laws, testimonies, statutes, commandments, fears, and judgments. Then it goes on to say the Bible is, this is the descriptive phrases, perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, and righteous altogether. Man alive, what other book that exists on this planet can we say those things about? And so what an incredible book. What a blessing. We're blessed. I'm going to give Sammy her Bible this morning. You know, we give our seniors the Bible. And so this one gift that we've given at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I think for the 51 years of its existence now, is we have graduating seniors. What do? We hand them a Bible. I don't know if there's a more important moment. And they already got a Bible. Sammy's got a Bible. She's probably got several of them. But it's our church kind of just reminding one, you're finished with high school here. Yeah, we put your name on the front of it. There, isn't that a pretty Bible? Look at that. I like that. You know, every Bible should be read. Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. Samantha Scales. And you know what? I started using this Bible a little bit. And it's got my name, Pastor Jerry Ross, on it, and Brother Jay Reed, the last time I was down there. Pastor Ross, thank you for many faithful years of service to the Lord. May God continue to bless you and your ministry for years to come. Your friends at the Peachtree Road Baptist Church, that's the church down there. And so I started using this Bible. It's got my name on it. You know, folks, all of us have got one. But here's a young lady. She's finished in high school. And come on, these next 4 or 5 years, folks, make or break. So many of the most important decisions of every person's life is made from about 18 to 24. And here, girl, and I'm just not saying this about Sammy. I'm saying this about everybody. You know what? Look at that. This book, it has the answers. It's just not a cliche. It has the answer. But what's our responsibility? Let's finish the chapter. Listen, that's fine. We've got the creation that shows us that there's a God. Then that creator gave us a book so we could know exactly how we're to live our lives. And then we get into the, let me get back to, close my Bible. Let me get back to the last part. He said, verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, oh, there it is, folks, is great reward. Oh, may our hearts just be wide open right now. Let the Bible warn you. It has warnings. Listen, if you keep the precepts, come on, the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the fears, the judgments, if you don't fight against them and you just bow down your heart in humility and just receive them and keep them, the Bible says there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? And then there's some questions asked. A question asked here. Who can understand his errors? Folks, listen. Let's all say this together, okay? It is so much easier to see the faults of someone else than it is to see your own. Let's all just go like that right now. It's just so much easier. And so sometimes we have to go to God and say, because see, the things that I'm not doing right, I can rationalize. I've built up reasons and excuses, and you know, I've already got my defense. If somebody brings them up, you know, I can get defensive about them. And it's just like, wait a minute, Lord, who can understand? Think about that. Who can understand his errors? And then I love this. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Things I'm not even aware of. God, bring to my attention. Help me to see them. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Folks, it's a sad thing when sin, all of a sudden, we become a slave to it again. And as Christians, we're not to be a servant of sin. We're to be a servant of the Lord. Don't underestimate that little vine that's wrapping around that little tree and how it can twist it and deform it later on. Take care of the little things, okay? And then he says this, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Yeah, if I take care of the little presumptuous sins, it's going to save me from the big destructive ones. And then this is the prayer that he ends with. Let the words of my mouth. Man, maybe we ought to pray this every morning in our prayer time. Maybe we ought, the last prayer we pray before we walk out the door. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, we've got to quit. Folks, I didn't do it justice. Mercy sakes, what a chapter. What a chapter. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. And thank you for creation, and thank you for the testimony, Lord, that's all around us. Bless the next service, Lord, and I just pray that you give us, Lord, a good service. We pray in Jesus' name.